Hi, I'm Connor Lee with the Epic Times, one of America's largest independent newspapers. Today's story is about an Epic Times reporter who went without his smartphone for 30 days. Show your support for independent journalism by following this podcast. Epic Times reporter Lawrence Wilson was scrolling Instagram for a few minutes before bed. That's when he noticed the clock. It was around midnight, which means he'd been scrolling for 2 hours already. Enough, he said, for the umpteenth time. He vowed to make a clean sweep. Social media was just part of the problem, though. On a given day, he was also checking 3 messaging apps, half a dozen news sites, YouTube, live sports scores, and good old-fashioned email. All 3 accounts. Television had become something he listened to while scrolling for news, gossip, or cat videos. His attention was no longer his own, and he wanted it back. So he bought a flip phone, put his smartphone in a drawer, and set his internal clock to 2006, the year before the iPhone was released. For the next 31 days, he read books, wrote down driving directions, and sharpened his listening skills. He navigated 2 major holidays without so much as Candy Crush for comfort, and made it out the other side. The experience was different than he imagined it'd be. He learned a lot about the role of the smartphone in his life, and how it came to devour so much of his focus. And he learned that he wasn't alone. The last thing he did with his smartphone was post a photo of his new flip phone on social media and humble brag about his bold experiment. Friends began messaging him almost immediately. Their curiosity betrayed a hint of longing. In fact, most Americans seem to have an uneasy relationship with their phone. According to Pew Research, more than 90% of Americans have a smartphone. And those devices eat an increasingly large share of our attention. According to a 2025 report from Harmony Healthcare IT, Americans spend an average of 5 hours and 16 minutes a day on their phones. That's a 14% increase over the year before. 49% report feeling addicted to their phones. More telling is that 52% of Americans say they want to reduce their phone time. For parents with kids at home, the stakes are higher. According to a Pew survey, about 40% of parents would like to have more control over their child's screen time. The same percentage reports arguments with their teenagers over phone use. The reasons people list for wanting to reduce their phone time largely mirror Lawrence's: to gain control of his time, increase focus, get more sleep, and improve overall health. By the way, here at the Epic Times, my colleagues publish stories like these every day. So if you like our work, consider becoming a subscriber to our newspaper. Go to theepictimes.com. That's the EPOCH times.com, and hit the blue subscribe button at the top right. Or check the link in the notes. Lawrence continued for several days to pick up his flip phone and look at it. Sometime during that first week, his brain caught on to the fact that no ping from social media or a motorcycle video from his brother would appear. Eventually, he quit looking. With just a numeric keyboard, texting was torture. No memes, no memojis. He was back to tapping 555-666-555 for LOL. It became so tedious, he started calling people rather than texting them back. He used his flip phone as a phone and nothing more. Having no reason to look at the phone frequently, much less carry it around, he left it on the table when at home, and sometimes when going out. That was freeing because it allowed him to look elsewhere. Everywhere he went, he noticed what seemed like everyone staring at their phones. They looked at their phones while walking, driving, eating, and talking with friends. Everyone seemed distracted. According to a 2023 study published in Nature, they likely were. Researchers asked young adults to perform a concentration and attention test, both in the presence of a smartphone and with none around. The results suggested that simply having a smartphone nearby lowers cognitive performance. Without a smartphone, he felt more focused and engaged in the moment. His productivity increased at work. He felt more present at home. At the outset of the experiment, Lawrence knew he could still do everything he'd done with a phone using his laptop, scrolling social media, messaging, and quick internet searches. And he did all that, but the experience wasn't the same. Mobile phones are portable in a way that laptops aren't. Our phones go with us everywhere. They're always near at hand, even if not in our hands, though we rarely use them for talking. Instead, we look into them. They open a window to another world, one populated by impossibly attractive influencers who easily captivate our attention. We constantly banter with friends via text messages, making them seem present. We listen to endless rants on podcasts, news sites, and social media. We witness all manner of rude behavior. Smartphones invite us into an alternate reality that is, well, unreal. None of the people in Lawrence's life look like an influencer. None is as witty as a meme. Not a single one sneers at people who disagrees with them, or behaves badly in public, or flies on a private jet. Yet that's the world we live in for 5 hours and 16 minutes every day. At some level, we realize that. But that false reality is strangely compelling, even when it makes us envious, disgusted, or angry. And that false vision affects our mood and outlook. It makes us simultaneously envious of others and suspicious of them. Disconnecting from the virtual world actually makes people feel better, though it seems like a loss at first. According to a 2024 Pew Research report, 44% of American teenagers said they feel anxious without their phone. Yet 72% of the same teenagers reported feeling peaceful, either sometimes or often, when they don't have their phone with them. After a week without his, Lawrence felt as though he was seeing the real world again. The novelty of using a flip phone wore off after a couple of weeks. Though he felt better, Lawrence began to realize how much everyday life is tied to the smartphone. Once, he got a paper check in the mail. Rather than depositing it online with his phone, he would have to drive out of his way to get to the bank. He had to log into proprietary software at work that required two-factor authentication, and the app he needed to do that on was on his smartphone. He tried to enter stats from a workout on his fitness app, only to realize that it couldn't be done online. The app is mobile only. Audiobooks, music, online shopping, drive-in directions, hotel reservations, boarding passes, credit cards, newspaper subscriptions, all these things were on his phone. Not to mention a clock, timer, calculator, voice recorder, and a camera. Of course, you can still buy watches, MP3 players, GPS devices, digital cameras, and scanners. But he hesitated. Did he really want to be that old school? That same week, he was preparing for a reporting trip to Washington, D.C. He'd be working out of the D.C. Bureau office, but he'd also be out of the office quite a bit. Is it still possible to hail a taxi in Washington? Where could he get a street map on short notice? How many confirmation numbers and contacts would he need to copy down? He didn't even own a printer. At first, he thought it'd be fun to live like it's 2006. It wasn't. The world had changed more than he realized. So he set a few rules to make life easier without compromising the experiment. He would use his smartphone for things he could do with another electronic device using Wi-Fi. Things like listening to music and podcasts. But no texting, no phone calls, and no social media. And no mobile data, except when traveling for work. Problem solved, except that he now had a second device to keep track of. It is possible to live in this society without a smartphone, though only 9% of Americans do. But it takes effort. He realized that for the sake of his work and, to a certain degree, his own convenience, he would return to the smartphone when the month ended. And that made Lawrence a little sad. During the final week, Lawrence strategized his return to the mobile digitocracy. How could he retain the mental and emotional freedom he'd enjoyed for the past month, while re-engaging with mobile technology, he wondered. The one thing he knew for sure was that he wouldn't return to carrying the device around like a ball and chain, looking to it for constant distraction or escape. So here are the boundaries he set to ensure that. He deleted social media apps from his phone. In fact, he closed his Instagram account, the biggest time waster. LinkedIn and X are useful for his job, so he kept those, but only on his laptop. He turned off nearly all notifications. That led him to decide when to look at the phone. It still rings, of course, and he has notifications for texts. But he turns on Do Not Disturb in the evening, so he can choose when they're allowed to ding and buzz. The only people allowed through at that time are the people on his favorites list. He can still check messages anytime. He turned off haptics, which are the buzzes and clicks made by your phone. Without them, there's no bzzz for alerts or calls. Silent mode is truly silent. When he's not working, Lawrence keeps his phone face down and plugged in. It's easy to ignore and less tempting to carry around that way. Sometimes he leaves the phone at home or in the car. He doesn't need it for quick errands and doesn't want it when socializing. He's also toying with his screen color. A coworker pointed out how easy it is to switch the screen to black and white mode. In black and white, red notifications don't scream for attention. App logos are less inviting and videos are less engaging. He's still deciding whether to keep it that way. Some friends have asked him if he recommends giving up smartphones completely. He suspects most just want to get their smartphone use under control. His advice to them? Try it as an experiment first. Think of it like an elimination diet. You'll see which functions cause problems and which you'd like to bring back. As for Lawrence, he's glad he tried this mobile detox. He's also happy to be back on his smartphone, free of distractions, and once again free to send unlimited dad jokes to his daughter. Well, thank you for listening to our report. If you want to read it in detail, the link is in the notes. This is Connor Lee with the Epic Times. We'll see you next time.